singing out so long. God for healing his wife. After suffering a stroke, she was unable to speak, and after praying for her, she was able to do so. Amen. Certainly appreciate that. We also request prayer for the salvation of her soul. Brother Joseph Bernard, give God thanks for his wife's safe delivery of a baby boy this morning also. Amen. May God bless him. Also, I want to dedicate my little boy this morning. So let's just sing, bring them in, bring them in. Them in, bring in, bring them in from the field of sin. Bible says, "Lo, children are an heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. His arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of one's youth. Happy is the man who had his quiver full of them." Amen. Also says, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, thus that thus shall the man be blessed who feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." Amen. We're certainly thankful for God's grace. I was testifying the other night when the baby was born. The honest truth is that I know he was born last week Friday, but I tell you what date it was, I don't even know the date now. But nevertheless, it was last week Friday, we were just having a prayer meeting here, and we were at home. Sister Sharon delivered him. I believe that is about 40 children she had delivered. 5 and all, and you know, we're certainly thankful that right here, you know, one of the sisters in the house of God could have that vocation, that the children could be delivered, and the wife always wanted a home delivery, and you know, she got a heart's desire, and we are very thankful and blessed to have this addition to the family. It brought great joy to our hearts, and you know, I don't know, we are satisfied with how much God has given unto us, but we just would desire God's will, amen? If God give us more, we are happy. Because when this boy was born, I was so happy, you know, and the wife was telling me, she says, you know, that this baby, you know, is born in love, because the Lord had it so that I was away in the field, came back, she still hadn't delivered us yet, and then coming back and being able to help her through the delivery and be assistant to the midwife, and you know, these times are very precious. But Joe was able to be with his wife yesterday, and he was just waiting for me until I come in this morning, all exuberant, wanted to tell me, saying I was right here with her, right through. I was able to pray for her and help her through by the grace of God, and she had a hard time, but she made it. And you know, I could just see him beaming with joy and pride and satisfaction, and you appreciate God in all these things. Because before we could even bat our eyes good, we were young boys and becoming old men. Not even maybe everything is happening so fast. You know, the children all around you. But yet, it's a joy in our hearts that should God spare our lives, we live until He comes. When that trumpet sounds, we want to gather our household with us. Rise in rapture and grace to meet the Lord Jesus, go over into that kingdom of the redeemed, and to serve Him for all eternity with our offspring around us that God have given unto us. It's a blessed thing. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household shall be saved. Every man will eat of his fig tree. You will build and another would not inhabit. You will plant and another will not eat the fruit of it. It would be a wonderful time. Yeah, we wouldn't have no rent to pay. We wouldn't be pressured by changing taxes, governments, distresses. We would not be in this kind of civilization. You know, that is what a Christian life is all about. We have something to live for by the grace of God. We have a hope inside of us that we face all the trials of this life. We have young men here coming into manhood, thinking about taking a wife, thinking about raising a family. Sometimes, you know, they have the potential within them. It staggers the mind sometimes to think that could this desire be expressed? Could they really come to that place to maybe raise the family? They cannot suppress that desire within them. They see the world is becoming so much more difficult. You know, they see what is happening to young children. They see homes being shattered by the pressures that is upon the society. The family life is becoming such a fragile thing that it's almost like wanting to throw them into despair. But then God, in the midst of that, in the midst of a changing world, in the midst of homes being broken on every side, yet God can put a Christian family on display. Yet God, by His word, can still show forth the beauty of a true Christian life, a true family life that is intended to reflect God and His family. Let not your heart be discouraged, young woman designed to maybe bear the children, sit at home, raise the family, keep the home nice. When the husband come in at evening from the toil of the day, he can come into the comfort and the enjoyment of his home, where he can meet his wife and his children, you know, who recognizes him as the head of the family, where the family unit can enjoy the joys of salvation and all God's blessing in his providence within the confines of the home. There is still nothing more beautiful, satisfying, enjoyable than what God gave in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Man tried to have parties, tried to have discotheques, tried to have cinemas, tried to get, you know, go to the beach, tried to have all the other things of added enjoyment. Until they try to enjoy these things and then they cannot find satisfaction among one another within the homes. They have extramarital relationships, they have broken homes, they have unwanted children, they have all kinds of different things. And when they go to the beach, they just can't enjoy themselves. When they go to the cinema, they just can't enjoy themselves. When they go to the party, they just can't find that satisfaction. Because all these things are just a perversion. It's just a substitute for a reality that God gives. And what is seem old-fashioned, what may seem outdated, what may seem a relic, what may seem to be something of the past, is still the thing that God intended that we would find enjoyment and true satisfaction. Blessed be his name. May God be praised. Do you love him this morning? Yes. Amen. We certainly appreciate him. Amen. Let us pray. This little boy, I call him Logos, Cephas. Not Cephas like Peter in the Bible, but Cephas, a constellation in Pisces, and it means the crown king coming back to deliver his people from bondage. The shepherd returning for his sheep. Blessed be his name. Almighty God, we stand in your divine presence, so grateful, so appreciative that you, the God who established the first family on earth, you, the God who intended that that would be a reflection of the family in heaven. Name after the Lord Jesus Christ, that great family that would live in that new Jerusalem, that would reign upon the face of the earth, that family that is born by your word, washed by your blood, filled with your spirit, that family that is in Christ, that new creation. Oh, gracious God, and to know that we, offspring, carry that strain within our hearts and our lives. And dear God, within the simplicity of our homes, within the confinement of our borders, Lord God, of our dwelling places, Father, we can see in a very minute form, but in such reality, the very characteristic of that first family and what you intended it to be, because you have preserved that and you will determine that it will not be extinct in the midst of all this modern life and this changing world. There will be a people, Lord, upon the face of the earth called by thy name, Lord, coming to know the truth through thy precious revealed word, walking in light, and Father, being transformed into your very image and your likeness. And that you can still come and have fellowship with your people as you did in the Garden of Eden. And you can still enjoy that, and your people can look forward to that as the most refreshing, most enjoyable thing upon the face of this earth, to be in the presence of the living God, to enjoy that fellowship through the blood, to live and under the shadow of the Almighty. How we thank you for these things, Father. It means so much to us today, even as we come, for you told Adam, multiply and replenish the earth. And yet, God, to know, Father, that Lord God, even in the natural form in which it is being done today, though it was intended to be a great spiritual multiplication, Lord God, by a higher order of a law reproduction, but yet, God, today we can have our families, Lord, God, in this way, Lord, yet looking at you by the spoken word, bringing souls into the kingdom, the Lord adding such as should be saved. And even seeing that, Lord, the second Adam multiplying and replenishing his kingdom. But yet, God, in the simplicity and in the ability which thou hast given unto us, Father, we come this morning to offer this little boy, which, Lord, you place my heart to call Logos, Cephas, Lord God, back unto you for a life of service. I pray that you would bless him. I pray that you would grant him health and strength. I pray that the great Holy Spirit would surround him. And Lord, just watch over him and keep him under thy tender, loving care. Lord, I thank you for my wife, for her faithfulness, first service for loyalty. Stand at my side. Be a help to me. Down through these years and in this ministry, dear God, and trying to raise these children for the glory of God. Father God, as we stand here in your presence, even before this congregation, and you have made us shepherds over, Lord, to watch over them and to feed the flock and to keep them under the leadership of the Holy Spirit by the word. Lord, standing here to dedicate this little boy today, I pray, oh God, that you would rededicate our lives even in your service and draw us into a closer walk with you, into a deeper experience, and bring us, Lord, to a place where we can just, so every step that we make can be a real example, can be a bright shining light, making the way plain, Lord, in every aspect, in every attribute of our living, Lord, before these people who we love, Lord, and have laid down our lives for. Oh, gracious God, we dedicate this boy now, Father, unto you today, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, looking back at the example that, Father, you have given us in the Bible, when they brought their little ones unto you, and you laid your hands upon them, and you blessed them. So I do, according to you, my God, in the name of Jesus Christ, today, dedicating this boy unto you for a life of service. And Father, may even the purpose that you intend for his coming continue to unfold and become clear within our hearts, that you can bless and inspire us as we endeavor to raise him up, Lord, and train him up in the way of the Lord, that his living and his purpose in this earth would be accomplished according to the intent that you have sent him, Lord, and that, Father, he can be a blessing and bring glory to your name. Grant these things, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Amen. Quickly, we turn our Bibles to read the scripture. You can have a seat. I would like to just read a little portion of the word out of Ephesians chapter 2. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. In other words, your salvation is going to be his workmanship in your life. It's not going to be no works that you can do for your own self. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And watch out the word there. Created. Created in Christ Jesus unto works which God hath ordained, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them. We who are created in Christ Jesus should walk in these good works which God has before ordained. What does it tell us? Our creation, our walk, which is our life on this earth, it all has a purpose that was established in the mind of God. Our salvation was wrought even within that purpose. And we, coming to that knowledge, can walk and fulfill this purpose by our living upon the face of the earth. And if nothing that we can do, it's God's great purpose. Amen? And Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 24. Maybe I can take a verse. And be you renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on. When the verse before you were saying, put off the old man, he's saying, put on the new man, which after God is created. A new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness. The Creator is creating a new man in righteousness. And the only true righteousness, God's righteousness, that he can give to that man. And in true holiness, that no self-made, pious holiness that a man is going to have. This man is being created in holiness by a Creator who is a holy God himself. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may have your seat. And before you put that precious Bible away, let's just read another portion in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That we'll just tie together with this, and then we can speak shortly and see what the Lord would give to us, that we might be edified and strengthened and perfected, be made ready for his glorious coming. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Really appreciate your patience. And Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. The better translation there. He's a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. I like that. Behold, all things are become new. Because if it's a new creation, then it can't have the old things around. Then it means to say all things become new if it's a new creation created in true holiness and righteousness. Then all things become new. It's a new way of serving God. It's a new experience. It's a new realization. It's a new nature. It's a new thinking. Because it's no longer your mind. It's the mind of Christ. It's no longer your nature. It's Christ that liveth in you. Amen. And this is God's purpose and this is God's intent. And he lays it out in the scripture. Now, sometimes the thing is that when we look in the word and we see what is spoken, it seems so precious. It seems so real. It thrills us to realize that is God's purpose, that is God's intent concerning us. But we feel so disappointed when we look in our own lives and after maybe serving God or going to church or making every great effort that we can to be sincere and to be true and to try to be as loyal as we could, to be a true Christian, yet we don't have the evidence. We don't see the identification. We don't feel the satisfaction that we are actually living in this standing, in this place where God's word tells us that, you know, God is working to establish us in that position. And it has us many times, you know, thinking, well, maybe I'm not pleasing God. Maybe, you know, I ain't one of the elect of God. Maybe that, you know, there's something I'm missing. Well, the reason for that is if we can see the basis upon which God is doing this, the way God wants us to relate to it, if we can understand the way God views us as being in Christ, because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, and that's not just any man going to church now. That is a man in Christ. And there's a great difference of a man being in Christ and not in Christ. The Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. And the Bible also speaks of how there are some, he says, so
then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the spirit. So then we realize then that some is in Christ and some is in the flesh. But he said, you are not in the flesh. So he's not talking about being expressed in flesh. He said, oh yes, this is not plastic, this is flesh. So I'm in the flesh. No, he's not talking about like flesh, like being in this. He's talking about that nature, that fleshly nature. That nature that is identify you as either part of the old creation and show you you have not yet become a new creation, because when you become a new creation, you can't be connected to the old creation. Amen. See, you are a new man. You are raised from the dead already. In Adam, all died. All was dead in sin and trespasses. All was condemned. Amen. But in Christ, all shall be made alive. See, there are two, as far as God is concerned, there's an old creation and there's a new creation. The reason he called it a new creation, because he is separated from the old creation. Because the old creation, there was a head of that old creation, which is Adam. But the Bible speaks of another Adam coming, which we're going to try to get into. There's another Adam that came. And this other Adam that came, he is also a head of another creation. Amen. And your first birth connected to the first Adam, and your second birth connected to the second Adam. Amen. That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Because you receive your first birth, you receive your first nature from Adam. Amen. But when the second Adam came, he didn't come to multiply and replenish by the way the first Adam did. He came to multiply and replenish by his word. His word is a seed also, is that right? So he's bringing forth here the bride, is that right? The bride is his church. And the Bible says you are being born again by the incorruptible seed, by the word of God that abideth forever. So if a man is born by an incorruptible seed, he'll have an incorruptible nature. If the word of God abides forever, and he's born by that word, by that seed, he's going to abide forever. Amen. A man in that nature could laugh at death. Isn't it so? A man in that nature, because death cannot conquer him. He's in a nature that has conquered death. Glory. And the thing is that we know the Bible says these things, but what would help us would be if we can see that God recognizes us as such. Or if God has not recognized us as such, or give us the witness in our heart or the confirmation in our lives that we are included in that specific group, then he can give us the experience that would bring us into that reality. Wouldn't a person like that? Doesn't that sound to you greater than just going to church? And say, well, you know, I belong to this certain denomination, I have this certain tear in my mind. You can look and see, I have in me the scriptural identification that this work that God has spoken of, that the Holy Spirit will do in the life of the believer, is taking place within me. Because Jesus did say in St. John 14 verse 20, in that day you will know as I was in the Father and the Father in me, I in you and you in me. And that's a very strong word. You will know. He didn't say you got a battle in your mind to believe it. He didn't say maybe you may want to accept it, but you wouldn't be able to have conclusive proof that it's a reality. He said you will know it. It wasn't that you'll stumble across a book and read, and that's going to tell you you have it. No. It means that he, the one who brings that to pass, who fulfills that word, he in you is going to make himself so plain. He's going to reveal and unveil himself from his word. And he's going to show forth the fruit and the evidence in your life in such a way that you can't help but know it. The same way you by a natural birth, coming as an offspring from a certain family, and you are the product of a union. Is that right? A seed and an egg came together to produce you physically. Is that right? Had to unite first in order to bring life. And then that seed and that egg has the characteristic to identify that you are part of that family. You carry that nature in you. You have that resemblance. A man can look at you and maybe don't even know your name and say, he may hear you live in a certain vicinity, a certain neighborhood or something. And he say, you are so and so, son. He say, yes, how you know? He say, well, I mean, anybody can tell you apart, you know, can tell who you are because you split an image of your father, man. See, or they can say, no, I saw one of your children down the road, you know. And he says, but I never bring my family home by you. He says, after all, man, that walk you have there, or that way to talk, hello. You know, the action, the characteristic. He says, the boy is the very expression of his father. Why? Because every seed will bring forth after its kind. You know, God in his great Bible of nature, before the Bible became in a written form, when man would look at nature, would look at God's workmanship, look at his handiwork, and sees his characteristic. You know, there are certain people can, you know, who study these things, art and so on. You know, they could tell you by the brush marks, by the style, by the setting of the picture, and, or maybe by the painting of portraits or what. They can tell you whose work it is without even seeing maybe a signature on it saying painted by Picasso or Van Gogh or something. They can look and they can actually tell you that's one of Da Vinci work. Why? Because the whole man nature, you see, Da Vinci is not just a man with hands. Da Vinci is the spirit of the man. The way the man thinks, the way the man, the inspiration the man is getting before he paints, the way the man paints, the obsession that he paints with, and, you know, the character that his painting carries, and the way he do his brush marks, and the way he sets his scene or whatever it is, or the colors that he use, you know, or the things that his picture would speak. And the people who study these things in the same way, you know, you can look and tell God works also. Because, you see, man is the offspring of God. And man carries certain strain within them to reflect what God is, because God made man in his image. After his likeness. So when you look at God work, you can see the hand of work in it. So when God was making seed, God ordained that all life would come by seed. Whether it's animal life, whether it's bird life, whether it's plant life, botany life, human life, animal life, even God's own life comes by his word, which is a seed. And you take a sperm, that gene, that seed, has the characteristic of that life. And when it's planted, it's going to reproduce itself after its kind. So the same way, God will come into a man's life, bringing birth by that seed, making that man a new creation. That life, that nature, that character has nothing from his mother and father, is nothing from that first union, but it's from a heavenly union. And that life is going to have the marks, it's going to have the traits, it's going to have the characteristic that's God's seed being expressed. That's God's own life. Because the man will walk like God, talk like God, act like God, think like God. That's why Adam was in the very image and likeness of God. That's why Jesus was the Son of God, which is God himself coming in a human form, in a human body, to show and reveal the Father. He said, no man hath seen the Father, save the Son who reveal him. He told Philip, when you see me, you see the Father, because I and my Father are one. Glory. So when we think then of this reality, as a Christian, I mean, these thoughts overwhelm us. We look in the pages of God's word and we see it's so real. And we think about it, oh God, you know, is that what you do? When it's revealed to you, when it lifts you up and you get beyond the realm of church, you get beyond the realm of, you know, some organization or some religious something, but you begin to fellowship with the thought. Not just the word, you go beyond the word to the thought, to the logos, amen. Back into the concept, back into the mind of God, back into the intelligence of God, amen. To see inside of here what was in God's heart, what was he thinking. Because before it became word, it was thought. It was in his thinking. It was the working of his desire, his ambition, his, you know, his nature, his characteristic. It was in thought, it was in the realm of spirit. Amen. Sometimes you see a man sitting, you don't know what he's thinking. You don't know what's going through the man's mind. You don't know what the man is obsessed with. Then he picks up himself and says, I'm going to go and buy something. But he's being moved now. His thoughts is moving him now into action. Amen. But it's still thought inside him. He goes into the store. He's still taught. Nobody knows. They see this man coming, looking for the straight look, walks in the store, come right in business like, go to a certain section and play around. He ain't just shopping and looking all over on the window shopping. No, he heads to a certain section. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the man, he's still not expressed his thought yet, but he's moving. Amen. He's been moved by his thoughts. Amen. His thoughts has put him in a certain atmosphere. Amen. Hallelujah. Is he going straight to the sport section to get maybe a fishing rod, you know, a fishing tackle and some different things like that? And he says, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And right away, read this man, wait now. This man was thinking about fishing, boy. What if I was driven back there, see maybe the ocean? He may begin to see the boat outside there. He begin to see him just relax out there, the fishing rod. You know, just maybe relax, drinking some lemonade or something. And have the fish dead, just, you know. And you realize, wait, I need to get some fishing gear then. If it has to come to pass. Well, so it was with God. While God was there, back there, he was seeing something before he even spoke. You know, the Bible says, in the beginning God created. But the creation was only an expression. It was God now manifesting his thinking. God wasn't just moved by sudden impulse just to do things, because any intelligent man aware of the situation, how to do this, how to do that, how to do that, because he's not going to do that second time. He don't want to be doing a second time. He tried to do it correct the first time. That's why when God did it, he said, it is good. It is good. The old creation I'm talking about. When it was the old creation, when it was God in creation, then we could see him moving in a new creation. Then we could see what he's thinking. We could see what his thoughts were. Is that right? Oh my, that's what the spirit of revelation brings the person. Hallelujah. Amen. It brings you to a place. Hallelujah. We can fellowship and say, oh God, you're not talking about just going to church and keeping a tradition. You're talking about an experience. You want to bring sons and daughters into that reality. When a man examining his own life in the light of God's desires for him, when a man look at his own ambition, and see what he's going to try with his energy and his years of studying and all his work and all his labor and all his sacrifice. And then he sees what he plans for himself. Oh, I'm going to get me a little piece of land out here. I'm going to put up a nice little place. I'm going to just have a farm. I'm going to have this. I'm going to labor and work and toil. And he does it. And at the end, you know, he thinks, boy, I'm satisfied. My life wasn't in vain. Take a pattern after me. I worked so hard. I didn't play around. I sacrificed sport. I sacrificed different things to get where I am today. Look what I have. And his lifetime is gone. And if that man had only examined his life and in the light of God's word and fellowship with God's thoughts and see what God had in his mind concerning him, he would realize what he's trying to do of his own ability, with his own magnitude of his thinking process, his capacity to think as an intelligent being, is just a teeny. Yeah. I mean, he could just see for a few years, or he could see just maybe so much a land, and he had God in his mind for his sons. We're seeing a whole new universe, a whole new civilization, life without end. Hallelujah! Established on such a permanent basis. Hallelujah.
with eternal life to live in it and enjoy it. Hallelujah. Where nothing comes to an end. And he established it. Hallelujah. On the very ground of the work that he, the eternal God, came down, became flesh in order to die and secure it and send back the Holy Ghost, eternal life upon you. Amen. A man realizes, he's not wasting my time. Let me just settle for God's plan for me. You remember the story in the Bible, David wanted to build a house for God. David used to run in caves and dens and hide when Saul was running him down. And David was a fugitive, lived a hard life in the wilderness, a man of war, sleeping in the nighttime, in the dark, in the caves, hiding in a tree when the enemy around you. You hear him talking the Psalms, hiding down in a pit, you know, because you fear for your life and these things. Finally, David became king. Had a house of cedars. David rest back. And he looked outside through his window. And he saw the ark of God in a tent of skins. And David going to think, look at me here. I'm in a house of cedars. And look at the ark of God is. Look where God lives and look where I live in. Look at the standard that God is in. And look at the standard. I'm in such a higher standard than God. And the Bible says, and David desire to build a house for God. What a cedars do. So that God and David can be on the same par. As a king on earth and a king of heaven. That kings could maybe fellowship and commune. And Nathan the prophet said, do all as in thine heart. And as Nathan walked over, the Holy Spirit, God came to Nathan and says, go tell my servant David. But I took him from the sheepcote and bring him where he was. And he will not build a house for me because he shed too much blood. And you know, you look and see then that God began to show David. He says, look, you want to build me a house, David? He said, but I'm going to show you that my plan for you is to build you a house. And God began to... When David thought he had come from the sheepcote, he had to relax now. I'll just live a good life, be a good king, die. But while I'm living, I'll try to do something for God to help God's standard improve. So I'll feel good when I go to my grave. God wasn't interested in that. But God would tell David, he said, David, you ever hear me tell anybody I want a house of cedar? Later on, Solomon said, howbeit the Most High doesn't dwell in tabernacle made with hands? And God tell David, he said, you don't realize you're only catching a teeny bit of my thoughts. You're only reflecting a percentage of my inspiration. You want to build me a house? He said, because I really want to build you a house. He said, and there'll always be light in your house, David. The light will never go out in your house. You will have a son. I will establish his throne. I will give him peace round about. Until God himself became the son of David. Is that right? He is the root and the offspring of David. He was before David, in David, and after David. Hallelujah. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah himself. Hallelujah. So while he was thinking about doing something for God, look what God's plans for him was. The Bible says after that, David draw silence. Just went and sit in the house of God and say, who am I, Lord? Who am I? And God didn't have to whip him into nothing. All God had to do was to show him his thoughts concerning him. So look at your struggle. Look at your energy. But look at my thoughts concerning you. Look what I have in my heart for you. Amen. Oh, my. No wonder when Moses met the pillar of fire, when Moses met Christ, when Moses was about to ascend to the throne of Egypt, what happened? He came right down and he went in the mud pit. He refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Is that right? Why? He began to see God's thoughts for him. He began to see God's purpose for him. When the time came to die, the Bible says Moses' eyes was not dimmed, the natural force was not abated, And God said, okay, Moses, time to die. Go up in the mountain and die. And yet he could be obedient because he knew he had finished his earthly journey. He had come to the place to recognize he came from God. He came to recognize that God had a power. He was the expression of God's thought in the earth. So Paul here wants to bring us to this new creation. He wants to bring us to this great promise that is promised us. And he wants the fellowship to show to us that any man in Christ is a new creation. The apostle had seen something. He too wanted to be a great man. Pharisee of the Pharisees, all these things we took the other night. He had no big sort of moral sins to lay aside. But he had a righteousness that gave him standing in the community. He had all this respect from the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. All he said, all that I count dung. Amen. In other words, I've seen something greater to live for. I've seen something beyond what my ambition or what I've been taught, what I read in books, or what I see, the modern trend. I've seen something greater than that. And it doesn't depend on my finances. It doesn't depend upon my strength. It doesn't depend upon my ability. It depends on what God wants to do for me, already has given to me. Amen. Oh, I could close here and go home and just get under a tree and think about it. Amen. The thought. Let's get back a little bit. The thought. The thought that moved God into creation the first time. He was seen ahead. He was seen a race of people. He gave them the earth. Then he saw that creation fell. Then he saw there's going to be a new creation. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Where man will conquer death. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Where man, the works that he had prepared beforehand, he had ordained before that they should walk in. Yeah. And he's going to create them. Because they will be his workmanship. They'll be created unto those good works. That they could walk in it. They could represent God. They could act like him, talk like him, think like him, speak like him. Hallelujah. Glory. We know no man can do these works except God be with him. You ought to be a new creation to do them works. Amen. See? And then God is creating a people. You know, it's a tremendous thought. Creation is taking place right now. You know, we might have think if you just take one angle of it, the Big Bang angle, we'll think creation back is a lot of noise and eruptions and so many different things. But here, we can see creation is going on. Transformation is taking place. People have been renewed in the spirit of the mind. All things are passing away, becoming obliterated, going out of existence, being completely eradicated. They have to live in the haunt and the fear that is going to come back upon them and take them back into bondage. People are walking in liberty and freedom. People are able to express freely, amen. People who don't know how to praise God, know God and then know how to praise him too, amen. People who don't know what worship is, know now that every breath you take, every step you make, amen, under the influence and the power of the Holy Ghost is to worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That you don't confine your church life in a schedule, okay, 7 to 9 Wednesday, 10 to 12 Sunday. You know, you don't fall into that kind of itinerary, no. Everything else comes under, amen, that headship. Amen. Hallelujah. And then that governs everything else you do. So when you go to work, your work is unto the Lord. Hallelujah. When you walk in the street, you're a shining light. Wise as a serpent, harmless as doves. Going out into the world, shining forth your light. Is that right? You are in a new creation.
Excuse me. It's a very tremendous thought. As I pondered that, looking at that, because how is Christian man in true righteousness? We've been talking about the righteousness of God. We've been trying to show what it is, trying to show you how it's not self-made righteousness. It's a righteousness that God gives you, which is by faith. That when a man has the righteousness of God, he has confidence. He can come boldly into the presence of God. And if a man can go boldly in the presence of God, who else presence you should fear to go into? You know why Elijah could have walked up to Ahab and said, no, not one drop of dew or rain will fall until I call for it? You know why Moses could go in the presence of Pharaoh and say, let my people go? They had been in the presence of one greater. You know when Pilate tried to intimidate Jesus and says, you know, I have power to kill you or let you go free? He said, you have no power except to be given you from above. You know how Paul stand before Agrippa? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. You're being the presence of a reality. Then this, you know, it makes him look so different. To see, you see, you know, our struggles come many times because we try to climb up there, looking at ourselves so low down, so deep down, and trying to reason from here. Going up there. But if we get up there and look at it from his viewpoint, not our viewpoint, we're going to realize, no, there's a hand can reach down and lift you up to the miry clay. And set your feet on a rock to stay. Amen. The hand of God is not too short. His ear is not too deaf that he can't hear. Glory. We realize that it's not you want it done. It's not you terrified because your ability seems so feeble and how could you ever do it? It's not within to do it. No. You have seen the one who has done it for you. Who is showing you that that is the love that he loved this week. Because the whole objective is not so that we would be revealed, but that he would be revealed and glorified. That's why I say, we are his workmanship. Whatever kind of product we turn out to be, it depends on how skilled, amen, the workman is. What kind of workman is producing the product. Hallelujah. And when you see a product like Moses, they could have taken his hand, and that man could have walked up and even say, let my people go. Burn it out, one tank, one bomb, one sword, one anything. And then said a call, let flies come, let frogs come. Amen. There shall be no light, darkness in this land. You were like, that was God again. When Joshua was fighting the battle, and realized the enemy was on the run. But he said, oh God, if we only had infrared lens, night vision, different things, like move in the night and get the enemy. But that gives these powers a bigger advantage today, having this kind of technology, especially night warfare, like what happened in the Gulf Crisis. But Joshua, look at the technology that Joshua break into in that day. He didn't even have to wait for night. He could say, sun, stand still, moon, hold your place. Let me fight this battle here. God, it's God's battle I'm fighting. Hallelujah. Oh my, make me that kind of product. Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yeah. Look at Paul out there. 14 days, no sun, no moon, no stars in such a storm. But the Roman soldiers, them hardened barbarians, their men stood there and said, they realized, look, is everything going to be lost? Let's kill everybody in the ship. And this man who's chained to a centurion, he's a prisoner. Amen. As the brother said, you know, he was acting like if the centurion was his prisoner. He expressed such content, such liberty. Because why? He said, an angel appeared to me this night and said, be of good cheer, Paul. Yeah. Hallelujah! Brother, he didn't need no telephone to contact somebody in a far place. The one we were in contact had come to him at the speed of thought. Yeah. And talked to him right there without anybody seeing. A theophany. Amen. Today science
You know, they know it exists somewhere. They desire to pull it, pull for it. They don't know the way to the blood, so they're going according to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Two signs in these things. And then they see now we have video telephones and these things where you can talk to the person and they can transmit the image. And you have video conferences and all these things. And you're talking to the person image like that because they're transmitting the image. They can't transmit the person, but they can transmit the image. But in the Bible, hallelujah, God never transmitted the image. God himself came on the scene. Hallelujah. Abraham met Melchizedek, amen. A theophany, hallelujah. Another one standing there, a being that he spoke to. Glory. Amen. You know, today people looking for lost civilizations. But any kind of archaeological expeditions, millions of dollars, sponsors, backers, trained, learned men, studying for years in university, going over there to try to dig up lost civilizations, trying to find, you know, maybe it's a world back there to piece it back where we came from and these things. They spend months and years excavating, you know, with little toothbrushes because they want to break this. This could, maybe a little piece of bone could tell us something, maybe a little piece of clay pot could piece together a whole puzzle. And you know, the world that they live in is so intense and it's so real to them because they're so obsessed coming to that knowledge. But then when we look and we see that, brother, we have something so far greater than that. Amen. What they're trying to piece together and all these things has been revealed to us through the opening of the word. We know that, but in a fairy tale of how we're getting back there, we are going back into a science so far greater. This hasn't been lost. You know, people looking for Atlantis and want to find this place because they believe that's existed here. And, you know, they would go to Pompeii that was destroyed and they would try to, you know, do a little excavations and these things. Try to find all them Egyptian dynasties and all them back in the desert. But nobody is seen. Angels just appear to people. Talk to people. Communicate with them. Man used to live in a realm where they had access to this sort of assistance. Shouldn't they be looking for that civilization? Because they have evidence that it's there. Well, what I want to go and find some clay pot down in Central America and piece the whole Mayan business for, go to Peru and, you know, go in the pyramids and try to read all them things. That's not going to help me in this hour. That's not going to help me overcome inflation and recession and all these things. But on the squeeze coming time to leave, that ain't going to be rocking faith to go up. But brother, through the word, we are coming back in contact with a civilization, with supernatural powers, with angels. What was an angel doing in Cornelius' home in the Bible? What was an angel doing coming to Mary when she's going to the well? What was an angel doing in Samson's parents' home in the backyard when Gideon was hiding the wheat? What was an angel hanging around here for? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Maybe that don't fascinate the imagination, but if God were to say, heaven will pass away, if God exists, angels exist. Because God is the one who created them. Amen. If man is here, then angels are here. Glory. If we've seen evidence of fallen angels and demon powers everywhere, how much more there are angels to assist the people of God? What was the angel doing right here with Jacob at the greatest crisis of his life? It might scare us to death. Our mind has been so perverted, all this television and comic books. We might call it a ghost or call it some Batman or something, you know, Superman or something. If we see it, so maybe that is why we just work under the influence rather than they show themselves. But until we begin to really get our thinking filtered, our spirit right, until we know to walk in the presence of God, amen, hallelujah, then angels can come to us again in the way he came to them. One disciple is going through a hard time, all broken and grieved. They saw Jesus died and they thought everything fall through now. What are we going to do? We confused. where we're going to turn to. We follow this thing for years. We leave the denominations. We follow this false prophet business.
And right there, I had two young men. Say, weep not. You can't remember, he said, that you'll meet you all in Galilee. Amen.
Hallelujah. Angels lifting back up their faith. In the word. That the thought was failing.
He sent forth his angelic spirits. Amen. To minister unto them. Who are the heirs of salvation.
Who the angel doing to Zechariah?
Jesus himself said, the angel behold my face, the Father's face day and night. So don't touch not one of them. Oh, that God wants to bring us into a place to see what he is doing now. To see the righteousness that he is creating us in. That we don't get scared. We have been made to stand here. It was the holy blood of God that bled and flowed. And it didn't just happen. It was taught out. Because the Lamb was slain in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Paul is saying here, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creation. He is taking us away. He's not just talking about when you come into Christ by a rebirth. From your viewpoint, from your experience coming. He's not talking about that. Because he says, we were chosen in Christ. Ephesians 1. Before the foundation of the world. And the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. So in other words, he's trying to tell you children that you, God, you didn't come here by chance. You were in God's thinking. Oh, that God's word could get down to your spirit. Get into your soul and begin to throw out all the darkness that is coming in through subtle forms of modern day education. Amen. Educating us in the way of the world, but miseducating us when it comes to the things of God. But God wants to bring us to the tree of life. Amen. Where we will not lean upon our own understanding, but we'll have the mind of Christ. That God again will tabernacle himself in man. God tabernacle himself in flesh in the person of Jesus. But you think God is just satisfied with that? He was God above us. Then he was God with us. But he wanted to come down to be God in us. In that day you will know I in you and you in me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Not just we in Christ, but Christ in us. If you take a sponge and you put it down in a barrel of water, it's in the water, but the water is in the sponge too. Amen. You see, it's God in us and we in him. That union. Now if the first union brought a life to you, gave a birth to you, you come into our existence. You're born into a world, into a sphere of activity. And if your birth was deformed and you're coming here crippled up, you can't function in this sphere of activity like somebody else. Is that right? But if that new birth is going to bring you to another sphere of activity, another union, a union between God and man now. Because as I said, the artist's work reflects his character. It has its trademarks in it. Now you can tell who is the workman when you look at the workmanship. But we are his workmanship created. Now the Bible doesn't play with a word here. He's not using that word lightly either. The whole revelation of redemption is built around that word. Because the Bible is the only book. All them people try to
them other religious books try to bring in, you know, the history of the world and different things from some other standpoint. But the Bible is bold enough to tell you, in the beginning, God created. Amen. We deal with a supernatural, omnipotent being here, amen, who spoke this world into existence. And he's not ashamed to say that. That's why he come down through generations of men and spoke to men and created and had power over the creation. So man will not wonder whether God can create or not. Because they see a man doing it much more. They may not understand that the very God, a little portion of God in that man. That's why they wonder that Jesus, what man of man is this? Even the winds obey the man. We'll have to obey him because he created it. He ties his creation to himself by creation. Hallelujah! You see, God, by creation, came and dwell in creation that he might redeem his fallen creation. Is that right? God created a body. Mary and Joseph didn't produce the body. God, immaculate conception, God created. The creator by creation, coming into creation, because his other creation was fallen. Hallelujah! That's why in the last days he comes back again. Because he wants to show he is creator. Only God can create. And God, by the most conclusive proof in this hour that he lives, he reigns, he is still omnipotent, he is all powerful, he is still as great as he ever was, he's going to take his fallen creation and by creation make them a new creation and create to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. To show that he is God. Just to dwell as we have tried for the few moments before getting into our subject on creation, creating. The spirit that moved God to create. It was in his thoughts. His thinking. You see, many times we try to relate from the action. But we need to go back to the thought that influenced the action. To get the real person. To get the real objective. To get the real motive. Because when a man is doing something, but he's not telling you why he's doing it. And you're trying to understand until he begins a fellowship with you, what is in his thinking, what is in his mind. Then you can appreciate what he's doing really. Is that right? And until you really express and reveal your thoughts, it's all sealed up in your mind. And who can break into the realm of your thinking to know what you are thinking? You see why God's word was a mystery? Because man saw evidences of a God, of a creator. But they couldn't understand why this and why that and why the Lord Moses and why this with Abraham in the calling and you start the Jewish race through him. And you know, why Jesus came and died? Why now the Gentiles coming in? And you know, why Israel go back in their homeland? And they see a lot of things. But when you get back to the thinking of God, we begin to see his purpose. And when we see his purpose, then we really see him. Then we really begin to contact the person who is doing these things. Then we can begin to have expectations of real, true relationship. That's why it was so great in this age that this is going to be the revealing of God, the unveiling of God. What was in the back part of God's mind that nobody knew was going to be made known? That God had an age when every mystery in the Bible would be revealed. It will no longer be confusing to man. Why this? Why that? Why that? Why that? God had a time. Because like every good artist, they don't want to be too interrupted until they finish. All the work is in secret. But then there was a display. They were there of the unveiling. Yes. And then they come and tell you how I got this inspiration. What dwelt in my heart. How much years I couldn't move from here. How I waited. Them writers who write the books. They take a trip and they go out somewhere. And they get away from everybody else. Yeah. Why? They want to get inspiration to progress with the work. Yeah. And so in the last days when God came, God had a time like that. Yeah. After he has done it. Like Adam. God created. And then when Adam came, then Adam looked, and he was the end of a physical creation. He can look back and see what God did. Then God can fellowship with Adam now. What he did. Why he did that. See? Now, here it is. If that old creation was so good, was so majestic, it revealed the heart and nature of God in such a way that in the end of it, it was capped off with fellowship. God and his own in fellowship. Living together, walking together, talking together. In union. What do you think this new creation, which is so much greater, because death can't come into this one. Satan have nothing to get into this one to do. This one is so out. He is seeing it, he's looking at it, and he can't touch it. There's no wicked coming. Because this bride will not fall. He says in the last days he will present a church without spot or without wrinkle. We don't have to try to woke up ourselves and burst our brains how that's going to be. We don't want to eat this. We don't want to eat that. We don't want to do this. All that might be good in its place. All the dietary laws, all the things, everything. But that is not going to bring righteousness and it's not going to produce faith. It might give you a real satisfaction in your conscience. It's not even going to produce longer life. Because you may be trying to keep all this here and walk out and a motor car run over you and kill you. Healthy as ever, you die by accident. You know what I'm saying? Yes, because every man have an allotted time on the earth. Yes, that's why the man who consecrates his body and his life to the service of God and say, Lord, you give me this body. I don't know what time I have on the earth, whether it's 60, 70 years, whether it's 5 more years. But I know I can really do to the best of my ability and that you'll have me to do and I desire to do for you if I have more strength and if I take my body. So you want to care your body for the service of God, but not that you're going to exceed the days. It depends on God to exceed a man's days. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, those things are unmovable. The human man worry and struggle, get caught up in commercial advertisements. You know, the plans of men to make money competing for your mind to sell the product. Influence you, pressure you, you know, too many different television channels and newspaper advertisements and magazine advertisements, everything, until you hold your mind in that realm. Amen. But when God lifts you up above that, and you can come now to see the reality, the truth, you have just so much days on this earth. You have so much space and so much time to cover that space. And the footsteps of the righteous is the order of the Lord. Because not within man to direct his steps. And you don't know what tomorrow holds, but he who holds tomorrow have ordained what tomorrow holds for you. And if you have his leadership and his direction in life, he could pass you through those things and then you can lift to his glory. But that's why man struggle and they go after elusive things. I see, but we can surrender to see what he has for us. It'll be so much far greater. Maybe just a few more minutes. Now, let's just try to plow in a little bit here. So Paul is saying, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Now, did God have in his mind, when he was thinking about the new creation, since it was way back before the foundation of the world, God saw the new creation even before the first creation fell. Because the lamb died, the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. The one who made the first, which Adam was first? The first Adam or the last Adam? Which Adam made the other Adam? The last Adam is the offspring of the first Adam? Or the first Adam was made in the image and likeness of the last Adam? The last Adam is the Lord from heaven. All right. So looking at this then and seeing that God saw this new creation. So the real objective of God was not Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah. They all had a part in God's program. But us in this age, in the climax, his thoughts about us, that what he'd been created and working right up, he has a people in the sixth day, and there it goes, 1,000 years, is coming forth again in God's image and God likeness. Because that's the only kind of man God really makes. When God makes a man, is in his God image and God likeness. That's why the scripture said, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's to behold the glory of the last Adam, the Lord. You change from glory unto glory into that, because you are a new creation after that creation. Because he is the beginning, the beginner or the author of the creation of God. God help me. Okay, maybe that's a good place to start. I wasn't going there, but like something said, take that. All right. Let me see if you can try to unfold that a little bit here. Let's turn to Revelation 3:14, just to read that. We'll be closing out. And if you desire to be to be that new creation, to be part of that new creation, to be a continuation of that same creation, may God give you the desire of your heart today. May he whose presence we feel and in whose name we are gathered, he who gives us life and strength to be here to worship him today, may he just move right into your heart. Revelation 3:14, it says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. See? Here he's revealing himself to the angel of the church. He said, I'm the faithful and true witness. I'm the Amen. And I'm the beginning of the creation of God. Now listen. He said, that is who the Lord Jesus says he is. I'm reading from the church's book. But those words don't mean exactly as they sung to us. Just taking them the way the song is made, has made some people, in fact, multitudes of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than the Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains. That's the idea some people have. That Jesus was a created being. And then when after he was created, well, if he's created, then he was created by a creator. So then he's not the creator. That's the idea some people get because of the way it's sung. Saying that he is the beginning of the creation of God. But let's look what it says. Let the scripture reveal it. But that is not right, you know. That doesn't line up with the rest of the scriptures. The words are the beginner or the author, and I look up that in the Greek, it means the originating source. He is the beginner or the author of the creation of God. Now we know for sure that Jesus is God, very God. He's the creator. You believe that?
Amen.
Let's take St. John 1, verse 3. I'm going to close with this. Just be established that little thought here.
You know, John had such a revelation. John didn't write like Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all talk about Jesus when he was born and Joseph and Mary and the experience and the angel and so on. And how your little boy grew up in Nazareth and come to the temple and was dedicated and so on. And how he's lost in the feast. And they went back to look for him. But John, look at John here in John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. God and his thought, you see. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now look at verse 14 here. This Word was in the beginning. He made everything. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. So we know he's speaking about Jesus. You don't have to read the verses in between to know he's speaking about Jesus, but I just read it at several times. So this one, if Jesus made all things, because all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So John is establishing to us that Jesus himself is the creator. He is the Word, and that Word created everything, but that Word is God himself. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. 1 Timothy 3:16, I quote it here. Without controversy, great is the mysteriness. God was manifested in the flesh. Amen? That is the person. Jesus Christ said, do you believe the Father dwelleth in me and I in the Father? When you see me, you see the Father. Okay. Now turn with me now to Genesis 1, verse 1. It might be a roundabout way to get to the new creation, but I don't think it would be proper to even get to the new creation until we see the old creation, until we see the Creator who is doing the creating. So then when we come into it and speak of what's happening in us, we can appreciate it. That work is being wrought by God. We are His workmanship. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Is that what it says? So then it can't have two creators. So that one that Moses wrote there in Genesis 1, and this one that John wrote of in St. John 1, have to be the same creator. Amen. Amen? Exodus 20. So beautiful, you know, as we took those messages and showing how we are made righteous, how we are reconciled and all these things, how we come into true holiness, the Holy Spirit in the people, and to see that that is God in creation doing those things. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here it is, the Lord made the heaven and earth and the sea and all of them in 6 days. So he rested the seventh day, showing then that God had a physical creation. He begun it, he completed it, it was all good, and he went into rest. He ceased from his own works, and he entered into our rest. Because he is the creator, and he was the creator of a finished physical creation. Amen? So then, we see then that, either surely we can see that what these words mean now. To have any other interpretation would mean that God created God. How could God be created when he himself is the creator? So then Jesus had to be God who created, because he created the heavens and the earth, and then after he created, he rested. The Lord, God, the Word, he is the self-same person. And he said, but now he is standing in the midst of the church as he stands there revealing who he is in the last age. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. He is the beginning of the creation of God. That is another creation. He's not talking about this creation here. This creation here we saw, he created heaven and earth. He was finished and he went into rest. That was a finished physical creation. But then, he now says, I am the author of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. He said, that is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. So Paul now, who is speaking here of this new creation, and we are his workmanship created unto good works. We are that creation that he is creating, a new creation. And if Jesus was the beginning of that creation, because look at this now, that body Jesus was not part, didn't come through Adam. It didn't come through Eve. Adam and Eve, the human race, it didn't come through human beings. It didn't come by human multiplication. So that creation, in other words, has nothing to do with the old creation. That is why it could redeem the old creation. That's why he could die and he could shed that blood to purchase what was lost. If it was part of the old creation, it would be condemned with the old creation. You understand me? So God had to again go into creation to redeem the fallen creation by creation. So they had this revelation. They had this revelation that the church, that's why no man added himself to the church. No man did join them. The Lord added such as should be saved. Why? The Bible says, by one spirit we all baptized into one body. In one body with many members. And since there was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, everyone is coming to take a place and a certain position in that body by predestination. Who was never taught to be in that body could never be in that body. So much cells is going to make up this body. So much members this body is going to have. So much organs this body is going to possess. So much heads this body is going to have. One head. Is that right? He is the head and the church is the body. That is why this church cannot recognize another headship. His people have one headship, that is the word. Your headship is not in Rome. Your headship is not somewhere in Germany. It's not somewhere in the United States. The headship is in heaven. You know what happened there? That's a temptation there. But let me try to bring it to a close for today, because we are here quite some time already. But to a place I can leave you with something to think on. Because if you, friend, realize that a Christian life is not just joining a church, is not just associating with a certain class of people, is not just going through the religious motions. It is those whom he foreknew, he did predestinate, those he predestinate, is them he called. All that the Father hath given me will come. My sheep will hear my voice, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. All them scriptures in the Bible showing that they were in his thinking. In other words, what I'm saying is, when God moved in creation, God knew how much species of trees he was going to have. in God creation didn't have a mule. God saw hybridization. You believe that? But God knew hybridization don't reveal him. Don't reflect him. Because it's a perversion. It brings death. Is that right? But man saw the possibility. And man crossbreed a mule and a donkey. And they come out with a horse and a donkey come with a mule. And they find it can work harder. But then it can't reproduce itself. It's sterile. It's dead. And they cross with different things and they tamp out a law that God put. Let every seed bring forth after its kind. Because in the seed has the characteristic to reproduce the life back in its originality. And when you hybrid it, you begin to lose certain characteristics that is vital for its identification, its survival, its purpose, its existence. It can't take the oxen no more. You can't tell what species it is because it begins to lose certain characteristics with crossbreeding. It begins to die because it can't take the pressure, the bugs eat it down and everything else. It becomes a weak thing. It's death. So God knew exactly in his creation how many different type of animals he's going to have. How much different type of minerals is going to have in the earth? Everything. How much of it was going to be rivers? How much of it was going to be sea? Which type of tree is going to grow in the mountain? Which kind of tree is going to grow in the valley? God had it all laid out. It was by design. It was by the expression of his thinking. Bible just says, and the Lord created the fish of the sea. Scientists realize there's so many different kinds of species from the sardine to the whale. And God created the vegetation, the grass. And they realized certain type of animals have certain type of mouth to eat certain type of grass. Certain type of birds have certain type of beak to feed on certain things. Some is migratory birds. Some is other kind of birds. Some is night birds. Some is day birds. You see? And they realized everyone has its place, its habitat, its environment. And now they're going to tamper with it, they're destroying it. And they're breaking down the chain of life. And they're bringing death on themselves. Because they never realized that God set it up by systems. It's an ecological system that God had laid out. They give it all the names and the ozone layer and everything else, but God had put it there. And they didn't know the inventions, the manufacturings and these things was going to break it down and bring death on themselves. But why? Because they went out of God's way of doing it. They were exalting their knowledge above God's word. And we see man tamper with human life, man tamper with animal life, man tamper with botanical life, man tamper with marine life. You went to them fish hatcheries, all them different things they have. Man tamper now with national life. You bring a little communism, a little capitalism, a little socialism, and you know, and then what you have? All kind of chaos. They're putting people's minds in all kind of civil wars, this, that, all kind of different things. They tamper with church life. And they bring, you know, bringing the world and the church and the blend and make a more cultured class of people, but no power, no life, no nothing. Rich and increase is good, but have no power. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you. Amen. See? Why? They tamper with all these things. Every form of life, they tamper with it and bring death. And that's why Satan is trying to tamper your life too. Make you blend with the world here, make you do this here, make you compromise here, make you do this here. So he can make you into a different species to what God intended to be. And then when the trials and the testing and the pressures come, you can't take it. Nervous breakdown, home falling apart, families breaking up, all kind of manifestations of temper and anger, court cases, all kind of different things. Why? Social life being broken down because of all the pornography and all the different things. Why? The tampering, the mixing a lot of things. And just like the ozone hole has been destroyed by all the chemical manufacturing, these things. So spiritual life, social life is being destroyed with all these things being spewed from Hollywood into the minds, into the homes, into the hearts. Exactly. Bringing death in many forms, diversified forms. So we look and see how God, when he was thinking about that body of Christ, this new creation, and he, Christ himself, is going to be the beginning of that creation. That new, he's going to be the head of this new race. The firstborn among the dead. Colossians 1:18. He's the head of the body, the firstborn among the dead. The last Adam. Adam, no, it's not the third Adam. The last Adam. See, the last Adam is revealed a second time again in bright form, not a third Adam. Only are two creations, the old creation and the new creation. Two races. I'm beginning to show, you know what I'm getting to? It's a super race I'm getting to, you know. It's a super, when he said there will be a super race in the last days. You see, the first race, the head was fallen. But the second race, the head is risen. Glory! The first Adam, when he was drove out the Garden of Eden, there was a something to meditate on. The flaming sword blocked every way back to the tree of life. The last Adam himself. And the first Adam could not come back. And that flaming sword is actually saying, in symbolic language, you must be born again. There is no other way to come back. You must be born again. But when the second Adam came, he said, I am the way. Hallelujah! Glory, there's no flaming sword, there's no cherubim. I am the way! No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah! He was going to bring the fallen thing back. Oh, what God have in store for us. What God have in store for us. So he saw that, the same way he saw Adam, and he knew every seed that had been manifested to complete the old creation. And then when the new creation started, he knew there is so much going to come in Ephesus, so much going to come in Smyrna. Down to the last name in the book, or when the last one comes in, it's completed. And each age have had so much elect. He's narrowing it down. Each age have had an elected group. He'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Every age, to him that have an ear to hear, to him that have an ear to hear, to him that have an ear to hear, my sheep will hear my voice. In every age, there was a certain amongst the elected that had to be called. And when there was called, like in the days of Noah, when the last one came in, the door was shut.
Yeah.
Then what happened? Those who were in that ark, and that ark rose above the judgment because the end of all flesh had come. Is that right? The end of that creation had come, but God's going to bring these over into a new civilization, into a new heaven, into a new earth. And they were in that ark, they were in Christ. You understand that? So God's going to tie with the end of that whole system and civilization and the end of that race coming there. Here were the ones who was in the ark was coming over to come into a new order, a new civilization. To start all over again. In a Peter say, which is like a figure. And the judgment of God was poured out. He said, which is a dark figure, even like your baptism. When that man go down the water there, and he's dying out, and the waters of baptism cover that man.
Yeah.
See? And that man is coming through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he has a revelation of the way how he's coming back. Into union, how he's coming in, that he can become a new creation in Christ, how the operation of the Holy Spirit coming into the life of this man who is identified, because baptism is the expression of his identification, that the Holy Ghost would come back in to wrought a work in him to make him a new creation in Christ. Because this man, after he's created, is to walk in good works that is ordained beforehand that he should walk in. No wonder those who were waved before us, friends. Those things are going to show this is not man, it's God. The third pull, the spoken word, is going to show that it is God tabernacle in flesh. God is in his people. The whole purpose of God is to come in. So God was showing that he was going to have a new creation. And when he started, he said the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary, the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. It was not enough for the Holy Spirit to simply give life to a human ovum supplied by Mary. It wasn't Mary's egg. God, by creation. That's why Jesus never really called Mary mother. See? Her testimony was the Holy Ghost overshadowing her. Jesus said God is his father. Well, if the Holy Ghost and God is two different people, then Jesus had two fathers. Is that right? And then Jesus said, I and my Father is one. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in Jesus. It didn't say Jesus was in the Godhead. It said the Godhead was in Jesus. Jesus said Jesus is in the Godhead. You make him a second person. But we see he is the creator. He is God. And none other. Okay. It was a God-man. It was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of the new race. He is the head of this new race. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, all things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Yet, you can see that though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God. For we are his workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus, unto good works. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This new creation is not the old creation made over, or it could not be called a new creation. This is exactly what it says. It is new creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing with the ways of the flesh. The new man, the inner man. During the week, we're going to pick it up and get in Ephesians. Ephesians talk about one new man, the inner man, the new man created after righteousness. It talks about the in Colossians also, the man who is created in the image of him that created him. And all through the New Testament talk about that man strengthened with power and might in the inner man. A man who is being transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. That man, the real you. I always say, you are not a body with a spirit in it. You are a spirit son and a spirit daughter of a spirit God in a flesh body. An animal, a dog, a horse, a cow is a body with a spirit in it. But Adam was spirit before he became flesh. Is that right? God created man in his image and likeness because God is a spirit. So what kind of man did God make? A spirit man. Then there was no man to till the soil, and God formed man from the dust of the earth. And then the spirit man come into flesh. The Word, Jesus. Also look at it. Jesus, the Word, God who is spirit, was made flesh. Coming into flesh. So, this new creation, this man who is in God's thinking, in God's thoughts, where he had his existence, wasn't a spirit floating around. He was in the thoughts of God. And then God is going to speak and bring the man into expression by his creative power, by his spoken word. You get what I'm saying? So why could Isaiah say, there shall be a voice of one crying in the wilderness 712 years before John came? Why could Isaiah say that? Zechariah and Elizabeth wasn't even born yet. Their father, grandfather, great-grandfather, great-grandfather wasn't even born yet. And he said, and this one is going to come. And when the time came, the angel appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth, who was in their old age and past childbearing, could have no children, and says, you will have a son. You will call his name John, because he will fulfill the scripture that says, behold, I send my messenger before my face, and the spirit of Elijah will be upon him, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. How come? They couldn't bring that word because that was God's thinking. It was expressed before they were even born themselves. But God was bringing them to be the carrier of that natural seed. So that when he expresses thinking, it will have flesh there for that seed to be expressing. Your appearance was necessary that you would be here. But God, in his thinking, was thinking about the real you. I said, you are a spirit son. Know who you are today, friend. You're not just a spirit in a body, like a breath of life in there. No, you are a person, a personality. God designed you the way he designed you, for a purpose. Amen. Let the musicians come. You appreciate his word? I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I'm born again, more than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. We're going to dig into that. Just try to open up a little bit for you this morning. It'll take maybe a few messages to really bring it out in the way it should be brought out. But that we can now begin to place that righteousness, that holiness, all these things that we've been preaching and showing you your position is standing. That we can give it to the man to whom it is rightfully due. The man that God is creating now, I can say, when he's free, say, this is my beloved son. Have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over all these things. Because he's in God's own image, he's God's masterpiece. Amen. He's in creation in your life this morning. Brooding, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. Brooding, bringing up his creation until he's pleased, until he sees a son thinking like the Father, speaking like the Father, walking, acting. Not a human being that's religious, I want to go to church. No, a son of God, a daughter of God, the picture of what a real lady is, the virtue, the character of a mother raising her children in virtuous motherhood, a father walking there reflecting the mystery of fatherhood, that the little children could look at him and walk in his footsteps and come up to be a real father. Like his father, who is a minor father to the great father. Amen. Hallelujah. That the strain of life, God's own life, could keep coming down. And that is the heritage we have. The word that is in us, that we can speak to someone and bring life, bring new birth. Not hearing a sermon, not trying to understand the thoughts, but the word bringing life, giving birth, driving over the darkness, brooding and bringing up the life, nurturing, cultivating, forming, shaping, molding, transforming you to present you as a real son and daughter of God in the image and the likeness of God. Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, when Adam was fallen, and he had said, the Bible says, Adam begat a son in his own image and his own likeness. If Adam, the fallen Adam, fallen creation, could still have a son in his image and likeness by reproduction, how much more the last Adam could have one in his image and likeness? Hallelujah! How much more? This bride is going to be nothing less than Jesus Christ. When they saw the apostles and them, the Bible said they took note that they had been with Jesus. They saw God in them. And friends, that is what he's trying to bring us into. May we open our heart. May we just worship Him in thanksgiving this morning. In joy, in adoration, that we serve a God who's a creator, who can take the confusion of our lives, wash it in His blood, bring it up through His great grace and power. We are His workmanship, being created unto good works. Amen. That beforehand, we ordained beforehand, we should walk in them. You will walk in it, friend. You will not stumble. You will not falter. You will walk. You will make progress. You will get to where you're going. Amen. Like Enoch walked with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Walk determines your living on the face of the earth. Your walk, your conduct, your behavior. Hallelujah. To display Jesus Christ in this hour. If we can see that in His word, then we can have it. The fact that we can see it, we can have it. We can receive it. We can be made partakers. Grace is letting us become partakers this morning. Hallelujah. By laying it out, bringing it right to His spoken word to bring us back to the word. Not a creed, not a dogma, not an idea, not a tradition, not a denomination, back to the word of God. The only truth. Amen. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Amen. All things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Oh, sing it. Hallelujah. Thank you for such great grace and mercy, the riches, the superabounding of your grace, your love reaching deep down to such depths of degradation where we were, Lord, where our life was a low form of life, deep in sin, nowhere that we could come of our own self, but the amazing grace, you reached down your hand and you lifted us up. Glory to God, He lifted us up. He lifted me up, I know. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. You lifted us up. You put our feet on a rock to stay. A song in our soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we praise and we thank you for it. Blessed be His wonderful name. Amen. Let us sing a little song. Amen. My heart was distressed by Jehovah, great fountain, low in the pit, so my sins dragged me down. Amen. He brought me out to the miry clay. Amen. Just when you see what He's doing for you, it should just give you an enthusiasm. If the Word don't do it for you, friend, I don't know what's going to do it for you. If God could take His Word and bring it right onto your heart, see that you were in the thinking, you came in the expression. He has come to you in this hour. He's bringing you right back up the ladder. Stand in union with Him. Such complete union that can never be broken. You haven't bound. Amen. Nothing is going to interfere with the peace. It's all taken care of. It's a work that's established upon His grace, His power, He held by His righteousness. Amen. You don't have to worry one thing. He's the author and He's the finisher of your faith. This is your confidence that He who begin the work in you will perform it. Just surrender yourself. Just let go. Amen. That He, the potter, can take the clay and mold it and make it. Fashion you into according to His purpose, according to His design. You know what His design is? To make you in His own image and His own likeness. Amen. My heart was distressed.
Was distressed. Oh, yes, that's right. In the pit where my sin dragged me down.
Oh, I cried to the Lord.
But He, my reclaim, who tenderly brought me.
Broke me out
of the miry clay.
He set my feet
on the rock to stay. He put a song in my heart. Today a song of praise.
He placed me upon the strong rock by His side. That's His word.
By His side, my steps were established again.
No danger of falling, friend. While here I remain. But stand by His grace. Oh, that's what He wants, your praise and your adoration. Hallelujah.
Free and free.
We want to remember that the maintenance needs, I want to remember that, you know, for the building, we all give voluntarily the articles that we take to keep the building clean and maintain it, the toilet facilities and all the internal maintenance. The floor and the carpet in different areas. And you see, Brother Patrick, let's just remember that we take a general responsibility among ourselves to volunteer towards that. Also, we want to be a little more sensitive to the needs within the home church, spiritual needs, social needs, physical needs. Many of the children right now have been through the whole service this morning and still unable to participate because in that room in the back they cannot see what's happening. We have the monitor. We are without the camera at present, the video camera, and we'd like to have those areas set up. Even that might be used to for extended library facilities that we could have the video included in the library facility. We have the films and the prophet, different things that could be of edification to the saints and many young people and even the old ones, that we can have those things set up. And we want to be mindful of these needs when we come in the building and we see that there are many who are not able to participate and enjoy the service as we would having the seat in the main sanctuary here. We like to remember that it's very frustrating the little children to sit there. We just can't have them running all around the building. So we have them in the room there, but it's very tedious sitting, hearing, and not being able to see what's happening. And so they can't be in contact with it. They are not able to receive much though we can sit here and rejoice and be blessed. So let's not just think of ourselves, but think of them also. I know it's going to take us being committed to our responsibilities and being sensitive to them in order that they could be better assisted over there. So let's remember that. Also, the youth services, we'd like to have maybe a little meeting with the youth in the assembly, and we could pass out maybe Wednesday night when it would be appropriate. We have a time to discuss it. With some of you, I know you have exams, can't be Easter time now, and it will be difficult, but during the Easter vacation, we could have maybe a couple of services. Our anniversary meetings, April, the end of April, would be 1 year since we built a building and dedicated it, and we had the brothers in Canada and Arizona and Honduras and Venezuela here with us, and we would like to have anniversary meetings, our first anniversary, and I have already spoken to Brother Glass from Honduras and Brother John Chacon from Tucson, Arizona, and I would like also maybe to ask Brother Juan Espinosa from Venezuela here, some of these Spanish brothers to come and visit. And the weekend falls on the 26th of April, so the last weekend in April, so we would be thinking on those days to have the special services. It would be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, 5 services with the brothers here. By next week, I should know about the confirmation of it. But Isaac Noriega from Tucson, Arizona, you know, they were in building and they've completed the new building.